Karen spoke last week, continuing this series about the heart, on how the Lord binds up and heals the brokenhearted. We're continuing the theme this week. Break my heart for the things that break yours, God. But before we actually get to there, we've got to go on a bit of a journey before we can address that. So let's start. What is the heart? What is the heart? What does the word heart refer to? In the context of Scripture and in the context of what we're saying today, it's not your blood pumper. When you say to somebody, I love you with all of my heart, you're not saying, I love you with all of my blood pumper. All right? It's everything that we are within. The Hebrew understanding of the word heart actually embraces the emotions. It involves the mind, the conscience, and the will. It means what's going on inside of you. That's your heart. So what do we mean by brokenhearted? Karen gave us a real thorough breakdown last week of what it is to be brokenhearted. The words brokenhearted and grief are actually one and the same. They go hand in hand and are experienced as we face sorrow, sadness, distress, heartache, desolation, despair, and suffering over loss. It can be the loss of or separation, especially from someone or something that we love. Grief isn't only an outward evidence of agony, like we see people grieving. It's been horrendous to see, both in the Manchester situation and now the tower block in London, the grief that people are going through. But we can see it when we look on our televisions. But it's something, it isn't only that outward evidence of the agony of what is lost, but it's an inward brokenness of heart that is grief. I'm sure most of us at some time here have experienced a broken heart, whether it was the loss of the first ever boyfriend or girlfriend. But yeah, we can be brokenhearted over the loss of a boyfriend, girlfriend, the passing of someone we love, a child turning to a self-destructive lifestyle. All these and many more bring immense grief, a brokenness of heart. And this leads to an important question. Does the heart of God break? Does the heart of God break? Does God suffer grief? Does he know what it is to be brokenhearted and grieve? I've mentioned how a parent may be broken and grieve over a child turning to a self-destructive lifestyle. Then how much more will the God of love be brokenhearted and grieve over his children who turn from him? Matt spoke 2 weeks ago on the prodigal son. Prodigal meaning like reckless and wasteful. The father in the account grieved the loss of his son until the day he came home. Maybe you're here today, and that's where you're at. You're at a distant place from Father God, and it's time you came home. His heart's breaking, longing for you to come home. God's ultimate goal is that we come into a father-child relationship with him, and that we remain in that relationship. And yes, he'll suffer grief, a broken heart, when that relationship is treated flippantly, misused, abused, and eventually rejected. God describes David of the Old Testament as a man after my own heart. What a thing for God to say about a human being. God said of David, a man after my own heart. Often in the Psalms written by David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see the prophetic. Some psalms are referred to as messianic psalms because they prophesy aspects of the life, death, resurrection, and return of Jesus long before it happened. One of those is in Psalm 69. It says, Scorn has broken my heart and left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. This captures something of the suffering of Jesus upon the cross, and especially refers to the soldier offering him vinegar for his thirst. But it says, scorn has broken my heart. The scorn, ridicule, and mocking Jesus endured on the cross by the very ones he loves and is dying for just breaks his heart. Cried from the cross, didn't he? Father, forsake them. They don't know what they do. The man who's still carrying the hammer who hammered in the nails. Karen said last week, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's from Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted because he empathizes. He's been there. He knows what it feels like. He's been there, got the t-shirt. God, he isn't close to us just because we're brokenhearted and hurting, but because he knows what it feels like. He knows what we're going through. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Are we stupid enough to think that this only means not to cause bother or hassle to the Holy Spirit? We readily say to people, and you hear it especially amongst young people, stop giving me grief, which really means just stop bothering me, you know, just stop giving me hassle. The Holy Spirit grieves far more than bothers. The Holy Spirit grieves. He suffers grief. He suffers a brokenness of heart. Take hold of this. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all know what it is to experience grief and brokenness of heart. God is not immune from such things. So, what breaks the heart of God? In the Old Testament, there's a continual demonstration of God's love and mercy for Israel, but also a very sad pattern of response from the people. They walk with God for a time, wander off, do their own thing, fall into sin, follow other gods, and God's blessing is lifted from them. He sends warnings. He sends messages through his prophets. Israel repents, turns back to God again, and then the pattern's repeated. They walk with God for a time, and then they begin to drift off and fall into sin. And continually, through the Old Testament, we see that pattern continually. That's why some of the Old Testament's hard to take, because God is crying to his people to repent and to return to him. You know, he's saying it as it is. He's not mincing his words. This is serious stuff. Time and time again, we see the consistent love of God for an inconsistent people blowing hot and cold in response to this incredible love that he has. Jesus in Matthew 23 and verse 37, as he looks over Jerusalem, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I long to gather you, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Can you hear the heart cry of Jesus? Can you feel the longing and grief in his heart because they're not willing to be with him? Not willing to spend time beneath the wings of the Almighty, where there's protection and provision, a place close to his heart? Dare I say, the same pattern is still being repeated today. It was an Old Testament thing, it was a New Testament thing. It's an historical thing. It's happening today, here and now, amongst Heavenly Father's children and amongst us. His heart breaks for his children who do not remain close. I'm sure we can all think of people that walk in really close to the Lord, and at this time, they're not walking with God anymore, or they're walking at a distance with God. I know for years, a man and woman led me to the Lord, and for years, John has turned his back on God. And it was only last Christmas that actually John returned to the Lord. But I just felt so sad during those years that he was away from God, a man who had walked so close, had shared the gospel with me and led me to the Lord. To see him walking at a distance with God, just trying to pretend that God's not there, very, very sad. But praise God, he's back with the Lord today. God's heart also breaks over those who've never encountered him. The lost, the unbelieving, the godless, all self-condemned. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, it was as much for the criminal, the terrorist, the child abuser, those who ignore him, those who reject him, those who have no time for him, as much as it was for us. Hell will not be filled with people the Lord doesn't love. To say it again, hell will not be filled with people the Lord doesn't love, but those who scorned, rejected his grace, his mercy, goodness and compassion. If all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, then how does heaven react when one sinner enters a lost eternity? I'm going to say that one again as well. If all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, then how does heaven react over one who enters a lost eternity? To answer the question, what breaks the heart of God, I would say two things. Firstly, his children who say and or sing they love him 1 minute and live as if they didn't the next. Secondly, the lost who live in a place of ignorance, rejection, self-righteousness, false religion, blinded by the God of this world, the fools who say there is no God, those choosing to live in darkness, the faithless, the unbelieving, all loved by the Lord and for whom his heart breaks. I know I've said it before, but we can never in this life look into the face of someone, whoever they are or whatever they are, that God doesn't love as much as he loves us, as much as he loves his son Jesus. Whoever that person is, such is the amazing love of God. So, can we have a heart like God? Oh. Returning to David, God said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to. The Lord had been searching for a man with a heart like his own, a man who would become the king of Israel, and he found it in a shepherd. David, a man far from being perfect, far, far from being perfect, and yet his relationship with God was two-way. God knew his heart. But you know what? God knew David's heart. When David sinned against God by adultery and murder, he was responsible for the death of Uriah. When he did both of those things, and David goes to God and he says, I've done wrong. It's against you and you I've sinned, you only. And da, 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 I've done what's evil. I've done all this. And do you know what David says to God? But according to your loving kindness, be it unto me. And despite all his sin, despite the wayward man he was at times, David knew something. He knew God's heart of love. He knew God's heart of love. And he recognized, he confessed his sin before God. But then he said, but you're a God of love. Loving kindness. It's amazing. Yes, God knew David's heart, and David knew God's heart. In the New Testament, Romans 5:5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The Holy Spirit pours what? His love. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Pours a lot more, I've got to say. But this is what we're focusing on today. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The love of God in our hearts. He doesn't do a spruce up of our poor effort to love, but he pours his passionate and compassionate love into our hearts. So often we think as Christians that, well, I'm not too bad, and God comes and does a bit of a clean-up job on me, you know, and actually he doesn't. He makes all things new. The love that you had, okay, it might have been okay, but the love that you had compared to his is like rubbish. But our love is like rubbish compared to the love of God. He comes to give us his love, to pour his love into our hearts. That's the love that God has poured into the heart of every true follower of Jesus Christ. Can we have a heart like God? A massive, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And now we come on to the main subject and Bible reading for today. Break my heart for the things that break yours, God. Matthew 9:35-38 says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, didn't leave anyone out, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. I'll just get that one in. Didn't miss out anybody. The crowds gathered round him because in Jesus is hope, healing, and life. And now, this is Jesus looking at that crowd. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We've been watching some of Glastonbury to see all of those people, just a sea of people, to see a sea of people. You know, it's magnificent, is it? What about their eternal destiny? When Jesus looks at a crowd, what does he see? They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We live amongst the harassed and helpless and those without a shepherd. Does it bother us? Do we ever lose sleep over the plight of the lost, those without Jesus? On a busy day in Truro, do we just see crowds of people on the street, or do we see them as Jesus does? Whoever or whatever our neighbours are, they're sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible says, and without hope and without God in this world. But does that matter to us? It should. Then Jesus said to his disciples, and this is where we need to listen with our hearts. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As Jesus looked across that crowd, or any crowd, or individuals, he sees a harvest field. The harvest is ripe for bringing in. To linger, to delay, and this harvest will be lost, lost forever. And the heart of God breaks. The heart of God breaks. Does Jesus say to his disciples, get out there immediately? No, Jesus says something else. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. He tells them to ask, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out. Friends, if we want a heart like Heavenly Father's, we will only receive it in the secret place of prayer, in his presence, giving him our full attention, adoration, and surrender. Our hearts will not become like his when the focus is on us, my needs, my struggles. There's a time and there's a place for that. But if we're going to have a heart like God, we need to pray for workers to go, for the Holy Spirit to touch and equip workers for the harvest field. The result in us will be that of Jesus, whose heart was so broken for the lost, for you and for me. He left the glories of heaven and he came himself. He received that burden from his Father. And what was his response? Well, I'll keep praying for them. No, the response of Jesus was that he came himself. He came with the burden. He came with us in mind. If we have a heart like the Lord's for the lost, we'll pray and we'll be changed and then go. When we're willing to meet with the Lord to pray for the backslidden and for the lost, those who break his heart, then the Holy Spirit will cause our hearts to ache, to weep, to break to the point where we will go. You and I will become the workers that we're praying for. Those who pray for the problem will be willing to become part of the answer. Are we ready to pray, to share the heart of God and to go? Even if your days of being able to go are over, you can still be the one who shares the heart of God, the compassion, the burden, and the brokenness in his heart in the place of prayer. The incredible revival that took place in the Hebrides in 1949 was actually traced to two very elderly ladies with a heart like God. These ladies, too old to go, but they prayed and they prayed and they prayed earnestly for the Lord to send workers into the Hebridean harvest field. They knew that the harvest was ripe there, and these ladies prayed and they kept praying until God raised up a man called Duncan Campbell. And the rest is history. Revival swept through the Hebrides. There's some incredible stories of that. We knew years ago a couple, Edwin and Naomi. Edwin went to be with the Lord, but Naomi lived until she was in her 90s. An amazing woman of God. My goodness, if I've ever seen the fire of God burn in anyone, it was in Naomi. She was a beautiful lady. But her and her husband were actually in the Hebrides when revival was taking place. And people would walk down the streets, and the Spirit of God was so moving. There'd be nobody around them and they'd fall on the floor in repentance, turning from their sins and receiving Christ. They'd stand up, totally new people. Every church on the islands were absolutely bursting at the seams. They were using halls and everywhere, anywhere, for God's people to come together. And day after day, people were coming to know Christ. People were being healed. Absolute transformation took place there. Why? Because two elderly people prayed for God to send workers. Too old to go themselves. That's a good excuse. Okay? That's a good excuse. But I can't see many excuses here this morning. But you can pray and you can have a heart like God's, a passionate heart. To pray for the lost, to pray for the backslidden. Actually, I'm going to say this. By experience over my years, I've heard more criticism of those that are backslidden than people praying for them. You know what I'm saying? I put myself in that category as well, but it's true. Over the years, I've heard more criticism of those that have backslidden or fallen away from Christ than those than have been prayed for. I think it's time to change the balance, don't you? So what about us? Because I wasn't including us in that. So what about us? Christians, are we going to continue to splash around on the seashore with our buckets and spades, or are we going to launch out into the deep and begin to be serious about why we're here, why God has got us here? Are we going to make a once and for all time surrender to the Lord? Christians, not people who've just made a commitment to Christ. It's about an absolute surrender of our lives, everything we are, our dreams, just the lot. We surrender everything. That's what a true follower of Jesus says. Are we willing to be those sort of people? If we've truly given him our heart, all that we have, are we ready to search for his, to become a man or a woman after God's own heart? Wouldn't you love for God to say of you, Bob, you're a man after my own heart? Every one of us would. I want you to consider making that decision before God, to pray, and to pray until you, as an individual, carry that burden for the lost, that burden for the backslider, and then yourself to God.